Welcome to Unity of Tucson.
So I'm going to say something that some people, I've said this before, and some people think, really? I believe. Notice I said, I believe. You don't have to agree with this belief. But what I want to say is, I believe that happiness is not a choice. Wait, what? Happiness is not a choice. I fully believe that happiness is not a choice. It is our natural state of being. It is our natural state of being. God's nature is joy. Therefore, our nature is joy, because fundamental to what we teach here in Unity and in the New Thought movement is that God is, we are. Those are the first two principles. God is all there is, and that is who and what we are. So all the attributes of the divine, all the attributes of God are the attributes at the core of each and every one of us. So if God's nature is joy, our nature is joy. And so happiness is not a choice. It is our natural state of being. Now, we do have freedom of choice. And so many I have seen in my life seem to choose attributes that are contrary to happiness, but it's a choice. Some of those attributes that are contrary to happiness, things like fear and lack and limitation. But those are not fundamentally truths. They are not real, except to the degree that we give them reality in our experience. That's the way that they become real, because on some level, we choose to allow those things to take dominance in our consciousness. And oftentimes what we're doing is we're looking at the circumstances out there, detrimental circumstances, challenging circumstances, and we look out there and we think, oh, how could I possibly be happy in light of all of that stuff out there? Well, here's the thing to remember. We do not derive happiness or joy or love or anything from the external circumstances. We do not derive it from out there. But boy, do we ever try, don't we? It's like, oh, I just want to be loved. Then be love. Like, be the love you seek to experience. That's how this stuff works. So if we think we're going to derive happiness and joy from the external circumstances, I'll tell you what, we're going to be in for some disappointment. We're going to be in for some disappointment. So this is what pops into my mind, and you all know that I use this all the time. As Bob Newhart says, stop it. Now, here's the thing. I want to be clear. I am not intending to be insensitive to what people may be really feeling right now. It is not my intention to be insensitive, because there are a lot of people going through a lot of feelings right now. I'll tell you what. I'm going through some feelings. I'm going through some feelings in the experience of this thing called life. It happens. I'm going through feelings that are really awesome, and I'm going through some feelings that are a little less than awesome. Not too good. But I'm not being overridden by the circumstances to determine how I should feel. It is an opportunity when I am in the circumstances to remember that I am in charge. And so if I seek joy and happiness, I must be the expression of joy and happiness. Feeling, now here's the thing, feeling is the fuel of the creative engine. Have you ever heard me say that? Feeling is the fuel of the creative engine, and we are constantly creating all the time. We are creating every aspect of our lives, every aspect of our circumstances in relationship to our circumstances. And what you feel is what you experience. And so if you're looking at the circumstances of your life and you're allowing those circumstances to dictate your frame of mind, and those circumstances are challenging, then what's happening is that feeling of challenge continues to proliferate itself in your experience. And it's like a snowball. It grows, right? And so our work is to put a stop to that, to allow ourselves to say, no, I will not be dictated to by that stuff out there, because I know the truth of my being, and what I feel is what I experience. And so I choose in this moment to feel love, to feel happiness, and to spread that happiness, to spread it all over, everywhere I go. Brianna Wiest said this: it is very hard to show up as the person you want to be when you are surrounded by an environment that makes you feel like a person you aren't. Anyone feeling this right now? I think so. It is very hard to show up as the person you want to be when you are surrounded by an environment that makes you feel like a person that you aren't. I have a question for you. Many of you, most of you, have been in this philosophy for a while. I recognize familiar faces that I see almost every Sunday. I look out and I can almost tell to a person where everybody will sit. For the most part. So here's the question that I have for you. Do you, and this is a rhetorical question, I have to preface it because I'm not asking for you to shout out answers for me. This is a rhetorical question. Are you the creator of your environment? Are you the creator of your environment? Or are you a relator to your environment? Are you creating your environment, or are you simply relating to your environment? One of the things that has been a profound, it was a profound gift in terms of a spiritual understanding and a spiritual path long before I came into this spiritual philosophy, was actually in an acting class that I took when I was in living in Los Angeles back in the days when I was still pursuing that career path. And one of the things that profoundly affected me was a coach, an acting coach, an acting teacher telling me, when you walk into an audition room, you are the creator of that environment. And they will know within 5 seconds before you've ever even opened your mouth whether they are willing to hire you or not. Before you've ever sung a bar, before you've ever uttered your slate, which is giving them your name, and before you've ever uttered a piece of the monologue or whatever it is that your audition piece, whatever you're presenting to them, they will have already made up their mind within the first 5 seconds whether or not they're willing to work with you. That lesson was so profound to me because I thought to myself, then I'm going to make it a choice that every room I walk into, I walk in with joy, with love and happiness, and with a countenance that inspires people to want to be in my presence. I am a creator of my environment. And many actors walk into those rooms relating to their environment, thinking they need to create a relationship with the people on the other side of that table. If you create your environment, the relationship automatically happens. So, we are the creators of our environment. Our relationship dictates, our relationship to the environment, that creation and that relationship dictates our experience, and we can choose and create an environment that supports our physical and emotional and spiritual well-being every place we go, no matter what. This is a way in which we demonstrate every single day integrity, which is, of course, the theme for this month. This is a way in which we may choose and allow ourselves to demonstrate integrity. Living with integrity, living in integrity, means aligning our outward actions with our inner truth of inherent happiness. I'm going to say that again. Living in integrity means aligning our outward actions with our inner truth of inherent happiness. Do you, again, rhetorical. Do you believe fundamentally that happiness is your natural state of being? Just check in with yourself. Because there may be, I heard a yes, but there may be people out there going, not me. I can't believe this. I cannot understand why he would think this is true. Just check in. Be willing to look at that. and determine if that is allowing the best you that you can be to show up in expression in this world. Because again, you are the creator of your circumstances. You are the creator of your environment. This is a manner of choosing. And there are many manners of choosing. If I'm choosing happiness, and I'm choosing to apply it to my physical space, then what I am choosing is to purposefully maintain a peaceful and uncluttered living space reflective of my sense of personal value and worth. That's a manner in which I may choose to apply my inner happiness to my outer circumstances. It also works for my emotional state, my emotional conscious well-being. If I am allowing myself, then I can purposefully cultivate relationships of honesty, support, and kindness. It all begins here and becomes reflected in my interactions with people, and anything that is contrary in the experience of life to honesty, support, and kindness, I am willing to let go. Some people have a hard time hearing that because I have had to let go of very close people in my life who did not live up to that standard of honesty, support, and kindness. I had to be willing to say, I'm praying for your highest and furthest. There is also a manner of choosing that is spiritual. What if we, and your presence here in this space already suggests that I think this is the case. What if we choose to participate regularly in spiritual practice and in spiritual community? That is a manner in which we can allow our inner light to shine forth, our inner happiness to shine forth into expression in this world. And you know what I love is that I think there's a willingness in each and every one of us, because I see you all taking notes to put this to use in your life. And I see when, so if you're new to our community, there's going to be some homework later, just giving you a heads up. But when I put the homework up at the completion of my message each Sunday, I see people taking notes. I see people taking it seriously to participate specifically and purposefully in spiritual practice. This community can be a reflection of and resonate deeply with the inner truth of our divine identity. That is what I seek to allow to unfold here every single week. And when I go and I experience you, not just from this platform, but when I experience you one-on-one, when we're in Harmony Hall and I have those moments, those wonderful, glorious moments of connection with you, what I am experiencing is that inner truth of your divine identity. And I hope, I use hope very sparingly, but in this case, I'm using hope. I'm excused. Laura's given me an excuse to use hope today. Because what does Ernest Holmes say? Hope is good. It's better than despair. But it is an unconscious compromise with the infinite. Because our work is the work of faith. But what I hope is that when you have that experience of me in fellowship, that you are experiencing the inner truth of what I know to be my divine identity. But that's a choice. To live and express from that point of view and allow that to be the manner in which I relate to people or you relate to people, the way we relate to people. One of my favorite New Thought authors, and he was a spectacular minister and speaker in New York City for a significant amount of time. And if you know, you may think I'm gonna talk about Eric Butterworth. I'm not. The funny thing is, so Eric Butterworth was at it was either Alice Tully or Avery Fisher Hall every Sunday at Lincoln Center. And then across the plaza at Avery Fisher Hall was another gentleman. So Eric Butterworth was a Unity minister, and over on the other side of the plaza was the religious science minister, Raymond Charles Barker. And Raymond Charles Barker, actually Eric Butterworth is also one of my favorites. They were preaching the same thing across the plaza from one another. Raymond Charles Barker had this to offer. He invited us to do this. State to yourself that you believe happiness to be a spiritual gift and that this gift is already within you. Your spoken word has power. Use it to produce what you want by not discussing what you don't want, and you do not want unhappiness anymore, right? You have finished with it, and it is finishing its course with you. Do not speak of unhappiness. Speak happiness, and it becomes the expression and experience of your life, is what he's offering to us. Your spoken word has power because it is backed by an infinite idea, an infinite consciousness that is allowing the magnificence to shine through. Your inner magnificence is a gift. And I invite you to share that inner magnificence through your expression and experience of happiness and spread it all over this world. Aligning our spoken words and our actions with the spiritual truth of our being is a practice of happiness and a practice of integrity. Living in integrity is demonstrating happiness. Living in integrity is demonstrating happiness. We can do this in various ways. Again, speak only positively about others, whether they are in your presence or not. You know what that means? Don't gossip. But I love gossip. I know you do. I won't deny that I've enjoyed a gossip statement here or there once in a while. But gossip is not productive and it is not constructive. In fact, it is destructive. So speak only positively about others, whether they are in your presence or not. Also follow through on commitments. This is a way that we can allow integrity to demonstrate as happiness by following through on commitments. A new thought fundamental to this teaching is this: consciousness shapes our experience of reality. And I use reality here, lowercase r in quotes, saying the circumstantial reality, because what we teach here also is that there is an absolute infinite reality, and that is what is ultimately going on, and it demonstrates itself as the circumstances of our life, which is how we define the lowercase quoted r reality, the lowercase r quotation reality. So consciousness, our infinite absolute consciousness, shapes our experience of reality. When we affirm to ourselves and affirm publicly and affirm that happiness is a natural state, integrity invites us to live in accordance with that affirmation, both in attitude and behavior, even in the challenge of circumstances. So I'm going to go back to asking you the question before. Anything challenging you in the circumstantial world right now? Affirm your happiness as a natural state and see it dissipate. See your relationship to it change. See your relationship to it change. And what happens is, in the change of that relationship, that out there must conform itself to your natural state of infinite divine identity. This song, gosh, this song, so good. The song lyric starts this way: it ain't hard to see all that's going wrong. It ain't hard to see all that's going wrong, right? We see it. Just watch, well, I was gonna say, just watch the news, but then I'm gonna say, don't watch the news. Stop it. It ain't hard to see all that's going wrong. You're going to be fed that stuff, right? I know it's far too easy to sing a sad song. I sang sad songs a lot of my life. When the world is cruel, turn your gray skies blue. Yeah? It's up to me and you. No one else is going to do it for you. All I can do is offer information. I say every single week, I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I'm not here to tell you what to think. All I do is offer information. You get to choose whether or not to apply that to your life. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell you how to do anything. You get to go on that personal journey of exploration yourself, if you choose to. And you may not choose to. That's okay. But it is up to us, each and every one of us, to determine how we sing our song. Here's what I know. Your optimism, your expression of happiness can create a lasting impact on everyone around you. Consider living in the consciousness of infinite possibility. Allow yourself to seek to know what is possible in every aspect of your life from the point of view of your inner happiness. Allow yourself to meet what can be met with an I can rather than an I can't. Know what is possible. Allow yourself to step into possibility. Start to adopt I can rather than I can't as a consistent way in which you are experiencing life. How might that invite a greater response to what we perceive as challenge? Because I think a lot of us look at the challenges that we're experiencing in life right now, and we're going, that is so insurmountable, I can't. But what is possible? Allow yourself to say, I can, and see what flows forth from that inner state of happiness. There's someone who profoundly stepped into an I can state of mind and is consistently changing the experience of the world for many people. Jose Andres founded the World Central Kitchen. You know about the World Central Kitchen? It provides meals in disaster-stricken areas, and this exemplifies integrity expressed through compassionate action. It is a demonstration of love only to go and feed people in disaster-stricken areas. Volunteers demonstrate unwavering commitment to kindness, to authenticity, and service in the midst of incredibly difficult circumstances. And it would never have happened if Jose Andres had stepped back and said, well, I can't do anything. What is possible? Step into an I can state of mind. What is possible for you in your response to what you perceive as challenge? And here's the thing. It may not need to be on the level of the World Central Kitchen, but it does not mean it is devoid of impact. Any impact is significant. It may just be a seed planted, that seed of I can. Some ways to plant these seeds of happiness: seek to dismantle complaining. There's a whole movement called a complaint-free world. You can look them up and they will send you a wristband. And if you find, this is how they work. And you put your wristband on, and you don't have to get their wristband. You can use any. We sell wristbands in our Desert Light bookstore. Put the wristband on, and if you find yourself complaining, take the wristband off and put it on the other wrist. And see how many times you switch wrists in a day. Here's the thing, awareness allows us to curb that tendency, and as we become more aware, you're gonna find you switch that wristband less. So that's one way that you can plant a seed of happiness. Another thing is to actively affirm happiness as a divine gift every single day. Every single day, affirm happiness. Wake up in the morning, even if you've woken up on the wrong side of the bed, and say, irrespective of the way I think I've woken up, I am choosing happiness today. And allow that also perhaps to invite you to commit simple acts of kindness. Today's message, today's call, is to commit to living and spreading happiness. Let us embrace joy as a spiritual right. Let us uplift community through acts of kindness rooted in integrity, because we are worthy of living happily and spreading that happiness every day and everywhere. Peace and blessings. You are magnificent. The home practice this week. If you want to be happy, be the cause for happiness. That's a way that we can engage in this. So, this week, make it your mission to uplift one person each day with a sincere compliment, kind gesture, or word of encouragement. No act is too small to spark joy. And notice in this activity, now it says, you know, one person each day. You can do more than one. Just to be clear. But notice how your own spirit lifts as you intentionally become a source of happiness in someone else's day. Because if you want to be happy, be the cause for happiness in others.
Hi, this is Reverend Jonathan Zenz, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast of my Sunday message. Your financial support will ensure that we can continue to offer this as an option for inspiration. You can make your tax-deductible contribution in any amount on our website, unitytucson.com. Once again, thank you for listening. You are magnificent. Namaste.